Let me in Genesis chapter 37, if you hadn't guessed that already. You might remember the story from Aesop's Fables, of course. A dog is crossing the bridge over the stream with a piece of meat in its mouth, and he saw his own shadow in the water. And so he saw that it looked, the dog had some meat in its own mouth as well. And so an endeavor to take the other dog's meat, because it looked almost twice the size of his own, he growled and he spit out his own meat and dove after the other dog. And as he attacked the dog, he lost not only the meat that wasn't there, because it was only his reflection, but his own meat as it went going down the stream. Jealousy or envy is something you think we would have grown out of a long time ago, but it's something we still have, isn't it? You think that it wouldn't affect us, but we still find ourselves discontent, not happy with others, because they have material goods that we don't have. They've had experiences we wish we could have. They have positions either at work or in society that we wish we had, or even the attention of others or popularity. Remember our kids, and they come home and they say how they're not as popular as the other kids, and we try to tell them, you know what, it's no big deal. It doesn't matter if you're that popular. You know, everybody wants, you know, we all want people to like us, but in the end, are they really the people we want to like us? And then we go to work and we make sure the way we act or behave or the things that we say don't make us look like we're unlikable to other people. Maybe it's because we have a sophisticated way of showing envy. Envy or jealousy of what other people have. When it comes down to it and we're honest, sometimes we don't want to describe it this way, and we seriously don't believe that it is, but it is envy. It can be done amongst pastors as well. Well, we're a nice small church, a great church, but we're not as big as some of the others. By now, I should have the following of Billy Graham, shouldn't I? People coming from all over the world, oh, they do that anyway. Of course, they're our missionaries, but we have people come from all over. You know, we might get jealous because another church is doing something or doing well. And say, boy, I sure wish we, you know, that would happen in our church. Or other churches be jealous of ours. Bragged about Park Lane Baptist Church once in a while, about how we had, the other day on Wednesday night, we had seven names mentioned of different people that y'all were ministering to, with either with a good contact as a candidate for sharing the gospel and some ministry you've had with them to that end, or the opportunity to open up and share the gospel with them. That's fantastic. Seven. So I bragged on you a little bit, and I think they were all jealous of Park Lane Baptist Church. That's a good... It's not good for them to be jealous, but it is to be on the receiving end. It's a good thing that we're doing that, and it's important. We looked at the Valentine's banquet that went so well, and I looked at the list. I'll be honest, Michael brought it up, and I thought, I don't know if this is really going to fly. You know, supper costing $50. I kind of had to talk myself into it. I talked to a few other people, and they were on board. And so I said, well, we'll try it. We'll see how it goes. I'm always good to try most things just to be able to say we won't do that again. And so we signed up. We had more sign up this time than we have, I think, in the past years. You know what portion of that was? It was that you invited your friends to come. That's what it was. And then, of course, that was just our list. Of course, when we had some from others as well. And so it said, hey, this is a great thing. And so I put out there as an idea, I sent an email out today. If we were to do that again next year, if there's any churches that might be curious, might be interested. I say it's no commitment yet, but if they'd be interested in joining it. And sure enough, I got one back, says there's no way. Pastor Jeremy from Lincoln said it was too far for them to come up for that kind of thing. You know, it happens among pastors. We get jealous that, you know, our congregation isn't quite like another, or maybe our ministry, we'd like to see a certain way, and we see it in some other churches, but, you know, ours isn't quite the same way. It's in our own private lives when we're at work and we see how other people are doing, or somebody gets promoted, you know, definitely doesn't deserve to get promoted, not like you do, and so you get frustrated with that. Maybe it's at school or wherever it might be that we have those occasions of being jealous, envious of what other people have, sometimes even of their own health. Well, there's many reasons to be jealous. And when we look at our passage today, we're going to see what happens that way. Key verse for the story from Joseph found beginning in Genesis chapter 37 and on through to the end of the book. We find the key verse in Genesis chapter 50 verse 20. There it says, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about as it is this day to save many people alive." God used what you had in mind to bring about His good. Romans 8:28 tells us that too, doesn't it? We'll look at the life of Joseph and pick up some principles for our own lives. You might recall the story beginning in Genesis. It takes place in about 1915. It was about when he was born, is figured. 1915 B.C., not A.D. That is before Christ. You see that Exodus, you might recall that Exodus takes place almost 400 years later, almost 500 years later, about 1445. Abraham was born, of course, before, in 2166. You might recall a little bit about the history of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. He married Leah, thinking he was marrying Rachel. And having married who we thought was Rachel, wake up the next morning and find out that it was not Rachel, it was Leah. It would seem that wouldn't be difficult to figure out, but it was probably some kind of wild party that they had for the marriage ceremony. And so he gets mad and says, "No, wait a minute, this isn't right. And so you give me Rachel now, then I'll work on her 7 years for you." And so he does that, and he receives Rachel as his wife. There was a love-hate relationship that took place there. Jacob loved Rachel, and Leah hated Rachel. There was a jealousy that took place there, an envy. Rachel was the one he liked. Leah, he cared for her and took care of her that way, but it was not the one that he really expressed his love to. Well, Leah began to have children. And so she had some children. You see some of the names of the children: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. Not having those all right away to begin with. But she has a couple children, and you know how Rachel is. She gets jealous and says, "Wait a minute, give me children." And Jacob's like, "I'm not God. There's only so much I can do." Well, so Rachel gives her handmaid to Jacob. And those two children that are from Bilhah from Zilpah that belong to Rachel. And so they were, in a sense, surrogate. She was a surrogate mom, but they really weren't hers. Well, Leah thought that was a great idea, and she kind of stopped having kids and so gave her handmaid. So now he ends up really with four wives. And in these four wives, he has all these children, 12 sons, 13 sons, and you have Dinah, also a daughter. Wouldn't you love to have been the daughter? All them boys. I was talking with a gentleman, and he was the only boy of like six, and the rest were girls. And so I thought, boy, I don't know how he survives that. But he did. And by the grace of God. Jacob, of course, the son of Isaac, and who is the son of Abraham. And of Jacob, Joseph, we see up here as well. It's Joseph right there. Joseph, he is part of the family in line that way. And what makes him special is that he is Rachel's son. When you come to chapter 37, he is somebody pretty special as Rachel's son. We go on here and look at what is happening. You find that they are in the Valley of Hebron. The Valley of Hebron, down the lower circle there, Hebron is marked there. That is where they were living at the time. Jacob, he dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. He was, it's not their native land, it's a land that God had promised to them. And the genealogy of Jacob and Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, the father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report to them against the father. This is the bratty little kid that comes up and says, "Mom, Dad, do you know what they're doing?" You might remember that. See, did that happen today? That happened today, too. I heard that today. So-and-so, as Veronica is, that's what it was. What Veronica was doing. Looking to get somebody into trouble. You know, sometimes that's the way the kids are. And here he comes and is tattling on his brothers. Doesn't say what the nature of it. Was it a matter of tattling, or was it something that he probably should have been telling to his father? We don't know. You can imagine how this rapport went with his brothers, not necessarily that well liked as the family tattletale, if that was the case. In verse 3, he continues, it says, Israel, that is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all the other children. Do you see a problem there? You see it in every circumstance, don't you? Jacob and Esau. Remember, Jacob was the loved one. And Esau, he was the one not as well loved by his dad. Or not by his mom. You see, Esau was loved by dad. Do you suppose Jacob maybe felt some jealousy there? Probably. Didn't stop him from doing the same thing. He loved Joseph more than all his other children because his son, he was a son of his old age, and he made him a tunic or a coat of many colors. Might be necessarily looking like a rainbow or a tie-dyed up here, but it might have been of different kinds of materials. Sewn together. Something that really stood out, stood him out amongst all the other kids. If you were to see him, you would say, wow, this kid, there's something special. As you look at the family, that one kid, he's either really spoiled or there's something special about him that he's wearing such a magnificent coat. When the brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the other brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably about him. You know, when we read this story, read about envy. And in reading about envy, we see that every envy imaginable can take place. There's all kinds of envy. There's envy, jealousy of here you see that he is the favorite son. If you are one of the other not favorite sons, if you are Reuben or Judah or Issachar, you might have stood around and watched the interaction there and said to yourself, boy, you know, I get so sick of that. Dad always plays with them. Why doesn't he ever play with me? Or you might look at that and say, what makes him so special? Why does he not love me? And you can see how there would be great hurt. And not only hurt, but jealousy involved as well. A jealousy, I believe there's a significant difference between wanting something bigger and better. You see somebody's house and as you're driving along and say, that's a really nice house. I'd like that house. I think there's a difference, though, between seeing something that you might like to work to achieve and also and between that and seeing something that you just have to have no matter what. I think there's a big difference there. I think God has given into us a desire for bigger and better to motivate us. Look, I'm 40 years old. Not very long, though, is it? But this is my birthday week. I get at least a week. I tried to talk them into a month, but they wouldn't do it. So this is my birthday week. I'd be lucky if they give me a birthday day. They, you know, we see that we have in us a compulsion to, hey, I need to work hard to do better, to achieve more. Not just for selfish sake, but, you know I can do it. And there's a self-satisfaction there, of course, as well. And I think that drive really helps. How do businesses become big corporations? Somebody starts in their garage and it becomes a success. And next thing you know, they're a CEO and they're selling internationally. What causes that? It's not by accident. It's hard work. It's motivation. It's a striving that takes place. There's nothing wrong with that. We should have that in our own lives, a striving to walk closer to God. But when we look at somebody else's life and we say, look at them, they're just nothing but a bunch of, really too good of a Christian, really. They like never do anything wrong. They're always praying and they never have fun because that's the way we always perceive it, right? And sometimes we become jealous of other people. Oh, look, everybody goes to them to find out answers. Why doesn't anybody ever come to me? I've got answers too. You see, when it comes to attention from others, sometimes there is a fight that breaks out. You've seen kids fight over a parent sitting on their lap. You've seen dogs fight over attention. The cats would do it sometimes. Sometimes the cat would fight against nobody for attention. We had a cat, his name was Monkey. It sounds weird, but that was his name. A beautiful black and white, short-haired black and white cat. Some kind of mix, some kind of thing. Anyway, it had fur and it purred, so it was a cat. And it would sit on your lap, watching TV or something, and you're supposed to pet it. So you'd pet it a little bit. And then if you stopped, it'd take his head, turn around, and bite you. Always right here between the thumb and the finger. Would bite you there and then pull his ears back because he knew you'd smack on the top of his head because you did that. But the reason that the cat did that is because she wanted petted. And so you'd smack on it and said, don't. And then, of course, pet the cat. It's a good way to reinforce the don't there, isn't it? The cat was fighting for attention. You weren't giving the cat attention, so it bit you. Here, we see that all the attention is being placed upon Joseph, and the others are becoming jealous of them. Every envy imaginable can take place. We see that could not only of this, but of material things. We can have jealousy of material things. Here he was given a special coat. That said something about him. Now, it's one thing with our daughter and give her a crown to set on her head. Why? Because she's a girl and she's supposed to be the princess. And so you give her a little crown to wear around the house, or even sometimes ends up out in public. And you do that because that's what little girls do. But if it was something of significant value, and we lined the kids all up and said, let's see. We'll choose you. You're the one that always gets to wear the crown because you're so special. How would the other ones feel? Not quite as good, would they? We have special night every Friday night, and it rotates, although I hardly ever get one. That's why I tell them, at least. You know, there's six of us. That's 6 weeks before it happens. I think I should get one at least every third one. And special night is somebody's night, and they choose what kind of garbage we're going to get sick on Friday night, and they choose what kind of movie we're going to watch, and all that. And so that's what we do on Friday night. And we rotate that. And we do it because it's not just one person that's so special, but each one. And that's important to show. And so when sometimes, once we train our kids, sometimes somebody will be bought a gift. And it's okay if Xander gets a gift and nobody else gets a gift. Because it probably won't be long and somebody else will be getting a gift and not everybody else. Because of some of the nature of it. You know, it was hockey cards that were real cheap, and so we bought them and gave them to Xander. Why didn't we give them to Veronica? Because she really doesn't care. Nathan doesn't care either. They like to watch it on TV, but they're not as involved in it. Today we went down. Don went down, took Ethan because he was bored and needed something to do, seriously. So went down and picked up a model for him. He gets the level 2. He gets the ones for like 10 and up. 12 and up, I think is what they are. Anyway, and he'll sit there. He does them all by himself. Very little help. He's really good at that stuff. And so went and... And, of course, he spent about everything that was spent was his money. But that was something that they went down to do. Not everybody else got to do that. So we trained them that, you know what, every one of you is special, but you don't have to be jealous just because somebody else gets something. And that's okay to train. But in the case here, you have Joseph where something special is given, and nobody else is considered. You can see why the jealousy was there. So we can be jealous because of the attention that others are getting. We can be jealous because of the material things that they have. Maybe the social status or personal attention they're getting. Maybe it's because of the prominent or favored position that they have. Sometimes at work, there's one guy you know is always going to get the attention. His ideas are always going to go through. And we can get jealous of that kind of thing. What's our reaction to that? There's all kinds of envy that's available out there. And we can enjoy it, you know, any one of those sins. We enjoy sin, don't we? And we can enjoy those sins. What should we do? Well, in this case, there is retributive reaction. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16 says, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth." That is, we shouldn't lie and say, "Oh, I'm not really bitter and envious. I just don't forgive them for anything. I'm not self-seeking, but if it's not my way, I'm going to be angry." This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Quite a warning about envy and self-seeking in our hearts. Here in verse 11, I should back up here. Verse 5, it mentions that his brothers hated him even more. not because he's a tattletale, but because being the favored one, he got a special coat and they didn't get one. In verse 6, you read about the dreams that he had. Could you imagine what it was like? Maybe they're gathering around for supper and everybody's there and Joseph busts in. Guess what? I just had this fantastic dream. They were binding sheaves in the field, and my sheaf rose up and stood above everybody, all the other ones. And all the other ones, they bowed down to my sheaf. The brothers, they're not stupid. They know what's going on here. And so they say, well, what do you think, that you'll reign over us? Now, Joseph, at this point, is about the youngest. You see that what took place when Esau and Jacob were born. I remember when I was a kid. Don't ever tell Jason this. The story of Jacob and Esau is what? That the younger would be the preferred over the older, right? And so I, being the older, was on the recipient end of this deal. And so I said to myself, wow, I just can't let that happen. I cannot have my brother better than me because I'm the older one. And so, you know, it happened in the Bible. And the Bible's true. Who says it won't happen again? So that's why I beat him up a lot. I didn't beat him up a lot. Only until he's able to beat me up. You can imagine what they felt. Who's this pipsqueak that annoys us to death, and he's favored, and now he says he's going to rule over us? This isn't going to happen. You find that another time, you see in verse 9 that he dreamed another dream. He told it to his brothers, said, I dreamed and another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to me. Wow. So now that includes not only the 11 brothers, but who else? Mother and father. So he told his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him. So what is this dream you've dreamed? Shall your mother and your brothers indeed come and bow to you to the earth before you? The brothers envied, and his brothers envied him. His father kept the matter in mind. He dealt with God before on several occasions. So there was some meaning, some understanding from his standpoint of what was being talked about here. His brothers, though, they were jealous of him even more. Can you see that? Understandably. You know, what did they do as a result? Here they envied him even more. You know, sometimes we're often convinced that our own attitudes and our actions are something that we can explain away. You know, I can't help that I feel this way. Well, maybe not initially, but if we dwell on it, guess what happens? We get ourselves into trouble. We might have in our own mind, if I'm jealous or envious of somebody, who's actually getting hurt? Is it really a sin if nobody else gets hurt? What happens if we hold on to that jealousy? Well, we see what happens. As far as they were concerned, they made opportunity. The opportunity came and they took that opportunity. In verse 18, we continue on down here, and we see that the brothers were jealous. In verse 12, that the brothers went to feed the flock up in Shechem, and Jacob tells Joseph to go check on them. Why does he tell him to go check on them? Well, because Joseph's really good at that. Remember at the beginning, he came and tattletaled on the others? And so he's often going to go and find out where they are and see how they're doing. So he goes up to Shechem, and we see that Shechem, wrong way. We see that he travels up north to Shechem from Hebron. And he gets there and they're not there. And he asks somebody, he says, oh, I believe they went up to Dothan. So he goes on up to Dothan. Quite a ways there, isn't it, from where he started. Well, as they see him coming, they start talking. Here comes that troublemaker. When they saw him standing afar off, and before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. How did it get to that point? Have you ever thought about that? How did it come to the place that they gathered together and they said, here comes that dreamer. I got an idea. Let's kill him. If you think to yourself, what would it take for you to kill another person? If you're like me, it would have to be a mortal threat against yourself or your family, right? But other than that, you don't see yourself killing somebody. You hear on the news that somebody was tired of their wife or spouse, so they paid somebody or that they thought was going to kill their spouse. And instead, when they paid them, it turned out to be a deputy, and they got arrested for it. Those kinds of things happen. What has to go through a person's mind to do that? Maybe you read recently about a mother that was arrested and what she had done. She had had many babies, and none of them were around. What goes through a person's mind to be able to do that? To take another life? And here they are, and they know about God. Jacob probably told them the stories of what happened as he was growing up. But when they saw this kid, they'd had enough. They were going to take care of him once and for all. Does envy cause us to do that? I hope not literally ever, but have we ever been glad to hear of a successful person fall for the sake of our jealousy? Have we ever had in our heart the hope that something that they would do, the slip up somehow, so that way maybe we can take their position? Maybe you've got a neighbor who would come over and brag about how good their job is and about all the trips they take around the world on vacation with their family because, the great pay that they have. And you see the beautiful Corvettes in their driveway. And you look at that and you say, wow, I really wish he'd quit coming over and bragging about everything he has. Would you kill him for it? No, you wouldn't kill him for it. Some days you might feel like only strangling him to death, but you wouldn't kill him for it. we may not literally do that, but what happens when envy does poison our hearts? We do begin to think things, hope things. Maybe even become a little bit like Joseph, to watch, scrutinize them really well, and then point out, aha! Tell the boss what you just saw them do. There's a difference between love and hate. We look at this text here, we find that the envy had an effect. Here in verse 18, they're wishing something evil to happen. By their own hands in this case. And so they take and they grab hold of Joseph when he comes and take off that wonderful coat that is made. They rip it up and put some goat's blood on it. And not only do they do that, they take him and throw him in the well because Reuben convinces them, convinces them not to kill him. Reuben does that. And Reuben decides that he's going to come back later and spare him and save his life. Because Reuben has in his mind that he's going to, he's not going to let this happen. He's the oldest. He has responsibility over the family. He's not going to let this one go. Well, he goes off, and sure enough, here comes a caravan. And here's the opportunity. Why kill the kid when you can make money off of him? You see, not only they wish to do ill on him, to do horrible things to him, but better yet, why not profit from his loss? They can make this whole thing work for them. And so you see that in verse 28, that the Midianite traders passed by, and the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him up out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Wow. Of course, Reuben, when he returned, he was pretty upset. And he ripped his clothes up, his own clothes up, sign of anger, and really let them have it. They had to have a plan, so they took the goat's blood and put it on the coat and went back to their dad. Now, how are you going to explain this to your dad? You simply ask a question. Do you recognize this? This looks like maybe it's Joseph's. And Jacob, of course, is brokenhearted, seeing perhaps it is his own handiwork that made that garment. When we are to love our neighbor as ourself, right? Well, what does love do? Well, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, love does not envy. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, it says, the works of the flesh are evident. It includes adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 says, For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Envy, it does no good thing. And while we might say, well, a little bit of jealousy or envy is no big deal, because I'm not really acting on it or hurting somebody for it, it does. It really poisons the soul. And if it's held on to, what happens? We start to wish ill on other people. We might kill them with our hands, but if they were to fall, we wouldn't be sad about it at all. And then we can even find perhaps some way of personally profiting from them, and yet bringing them down at the same time. If we can bring them down out of their position at work, maybe we can slip into that position. And we could be better liked by the boss. We could be better paid by the boss. Might do some sort of retribution and think, well, that's good, and we did it. Not necessarily good, but it was no big deal. You know, sin always catches up to us. And in Genesis chapter 42, verse 21, this is after the story takes place, or in the middle of the story, excuse me. The story is taking place, and the Joseph has been elevated to a position of authority, and all his brothers are there, just like his dreams, bowing down to him. And his authority. They're seeking something to eat. Well, he recognizes them. And he tells them no. 13 years have gone by at this point. He tells them no to begin with. And they talk amongst each other. And they say this. We are truly guilty of our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. They saw that they were being punished by God. That there was a, if you will, a tit for tat, if you do something good for somebody, come back around. Or if you do something bad for somebody, it'll come back around. That kind of idea in their minds, and they're saying, you know what? Joseph, we sold down to Egypt. And he's probably dead by now. You know, we didn't pay any attention when he begged and pleaded with us. 13 years later, it's still on their hearts. When we do things, particularly out of envy or jealousy, what results might happen? Well, probably feel justified at the time. Yeah, that's what they get. If your son's beating you in hockey, you just push him over in the chair. Because that's what he deserves for beating you in hockey. There's something more serious and less joking around, and you do something to somebody, break a relationship or cause a strife and a struggle between them. Maybe you're not getting along with your neighbor and that neighbor keeps coming and bragging about how good everything is for you in his life. And all you can think about is, boy, you know, one day I'd hope something bad happens to him. That way I can at least go one day without him coming over and saying how great things are. Because of the great job that he has, or the money that he's got, or the great family that he has. It's annoying. Just to stop for once. And you start breaking the relationship with them. Start having that envy and bitterness in your soul. What's going to happen when you find out he was in a tragic car accident and you never shared Christ with him? And now, perhaps as you go to the funeral, you realize that instead of trying to build a relationship with him, you allowed that envy and bitterness in your soul to prevent you from saving his own soul. And then to bear that guilt. Now, God will see that if he wants a person saved, he'll see that they hear the gospel and are saved. But ultimately, we still, as messengers of God, should be doing that. What if something they come over one day and they share, they say, hey, I've just had the greatest experience and share with you how they put their faith in Jesus Christ because somebody else said something. And they say, I've got to share this with you. What would it be for you to stop them and say, you know what? I've been a Christian all my life, but for a long time. But you know, I've let envy and bitterness in my heart prevent me from telling you the truth. Wouldn't that really be something? You see, our envy and bitterness in our own hearts and our own lives against somebody can prevent us from having the opportunities that we can, whether it's sharing Christ or building and having a good relationship with somebody, even sharing blessings with them. Envy is a serious sin. If it's not dealt with, it ends up causing in our own hearts a murder. Hatred is a murder, Jesus said, right? Sometimes leads to physical murder. There's continuing consequences when we're not following the Lord, no matter what it is, in particular with envy. What can we do? What can we do? We might, at the time, might be thinking to ourselves, well, you know, there, I can think of three good examples in my own life of somebody that I'm jealous of. Whether it's somebody or something, whatever it might be. Maybe you're sitting here saying, no, I really can't say that I'm really bitter and envious of somebody that way. But if we were to put these verses in our pockets to remember them, so that way when that temptation comes, we can pull these out and say, you know what, I need to be careful here. Because I can develop a heart of envy. Some verses for us to consider tonight. Luke chapter 1, verse 14. To realize that everything you currently receive is a gift from God. Everything you currently receive is a gift from God. In Luke chapter 3, verse 14, the soldiers came up and asked John the Baptist, what should we do? And he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely and be content with your wages, to be content with that which they had. We find that they were to, instead of just saying, hey, you know what, I'm not happy with what I want, so I'm going to kill the next soldier up so that way I can move up, or whatever might go through their mind that way. To be content with that. There's another verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, says your conduct ought to be without covetousness, being content with such things as you have. Content with what in particular? For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24 says, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God, or a gift from God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in certain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Is there anything wrong with having lots of money? He gives us all things for us to enjoy. That's why we eat bacon. We need to realize when we are thinking about what is going on around us and the jealousy that we could have, we need to consider that everything we have now is a gift from God. And that we should be content with that which we already have. And then along with that, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, follow him to avoid sin. Galatians 5, 16 says, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. In verse 25 and 26, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The difference there, the live in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit living in us, Romans 8, verse 9, we should walk according to the Spirit. That is, we are following Christ instead of our own flesh. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Each of those mentioned after he just says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And then he says, don't become conceited or provoke one another, or envy one another. How could we envy one another even in the spiritual realm? Boy, I sure wish I knew as much about the Bible as they do. Or I wish I was as wise as they are. Or why doesn't God bless me the same way that he blesses somebody else? And become jealous that way. We need to keep these things in mind as we look at what is happening here in the book of Genesis 37. In Genesis 37, again, we see Joseph and how he was treated, and wrongfully as a favored one. But in that story, you see the response of everyone else around him, all the other brothers, and how bitterness and envy entered their heart. And that through the years, what occurred as a result of that is it brought it to the point that they were ready to end his life. They were going to strike him down and kill him. Bury him somewhere out there all by himself. Nobody would know that he's there. And the only explanation that they would give is this Joseph's coat? But though they sold him, they did not kill him. Their act of envy, it came back upon them. It caused them the guilt for those years. I don't know if God is dealing in your heart and there is some sort of envy or bitterness in your life that you're looking at and saying, you know, I've held on to this bitterness as if it was a favorite coin in my pocket that I always carried. Sometimes kids have a favorite coin or a favorite trinket that they'll carry around with them. Some people don't see it a lot, but sometimes they'll keep something as a lucky charm that they carry. Sid Crosby, we've learned that he wears the same socks for every game. He's very superstitious. And he wears the same socks because if you do that, you'll win. And maybe your kids did that too when they played baseball or whatever the sport, the real sport might have been, probably soccer. And so they kept that. That was something special to them. Sometimes we do the same thing with envy. And we make sure, if we go anywhere, out in the street, we're going to make sure that we carry that thing with us so that way we've got it. And we carry and hold that envy and bitterness. And when the opportunity arises, we take a shot at that person or thing that we are jealous of. And what happens is that jealousy, that envy builds and builds. It doesn't do anybody any good. And the longer that we hold on to it, the worse that we become because of it. We need to do what the Scriptures tell us, to put away that sinfulness, the evil, that wickedness, that lust, or that envy. We need to set that aside. Why not be content with what God has given to us? Why not praise Him for what He's already done for us? Why not follow Him to do what's right? Why not even confront those situations? If we're jealous of somebody and been holding a grudge against them, it might be that we need to go up to them and say, you know, I just need to humble myself, come before you, and tell you I'm sorry. I really haven't treated you very well because, quite honestly, I've been envious of you. Now, if they're like some people, they'll be pretty excited about the fact that they made you envious of them. It's the sin nature. They'll do that sometimes. But to be able to come and say that and say, look, you know, my behavior hasn't been right. I just need to apologize for that and I need to tell you that I'm going to work hard to treat you like I should. And what happens when you do good to your enemy? Do you recall? Paul tells them it's like heaping coals of fire on their head. You're not trying to burn their hair off. Might not need to do that. But you're causing in them something that they see, a guilt in their own heart if they're holding the same against you. You're causing in them, perhaps God working through you in their own heart. Perhaps you can be the instrument God uses to win them to Christ. As believers in Jesus Christ, we need to set aside that sin which so easily besets us and take up the cross that Christ has put before us. Take up those actions, those activities. We need to do what's right that way in order to honor Him. It might mean that today when you go from here, you got a phone call to make or a visit to make this week. It might mean that you just need to spend some time with God and say, Lord, just clean me out from this and help me not to have those feelings, especially since I don't want them to become trouble for the other person or for me later on. That way we can honor Him. These young men thought that they would get away with murder. It didn't work. But do understand what they meant for evil, God did use for good. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are so good and gracious to us. Of all people that, not necessarily of envy, but could be very angry with, it'd be us for our sin and our discontent. Father, I pray that you would forgive us. I thank you for the way that you have cared and loved us, and I pray that you will help us to show the same to others. Seems as a simple lesson tonight, but one that we need to always remember. Might be jealous of another, other people in our lives, or people that we see on TV or read about in the news. It might be that we're jealous of not them, but maybe of institutions, as a church, looking at other churches and saying, why can't we be more like them? When, Father, you've given us so much, and you've called us to so much. Father, I pray that you would help us, that we will have content hearts. Not complacent, but content hearts. And that when we are confronted with the opportunities for being envious and jealous, that, Father, you would help us, that we will resist that temptation through your Holy Spirit and by the power of your word. Lord, I ask this all in Jesus' name.